Hi, my name's Neil Jackson. I played Marcus van Sciver on the Blade TV series, and you're listening to the Dead TV podcast.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Dead TV podcast. We cover already all canceled television shows. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
I'm Chandra.
And tonight we are talking about The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, episodes 5 and 6. Chandra, do you have a episode synopsis for us for episode 5?
Episode 5, a lot happens in episode 5. We kick up right after the Skeksis were captured in the last episode by the Hunter. And then after this, it's a continuous downfall, well, whirlwind of rebellion, how the rebellion's forming. And, I don't really have, like, a full-on synopsis.
Well, we open our episode with Dian being held upside down and about to be killed by one Skeksis, but another one wants him to be preserved. They argue a bit about the coveting of the chair. One, he's like, no, not a chair, power. Of course, when he says, when the Phantom of the Opera one says, he wants the chair, I'm thinking, like, he wants a chair? He just wants a chair to sit in? I'm like, oh no, he wants the chair of the Emperor.
I'm assuming the chair is, like the throne of power, like, what everything the Skeksis are always fighting for is power.
Right, which they don't really get until the end of the movie. So,
correct.
It's kind of funny that what they want for power is what transforms them into the beings of light, or whatever the hell it is they become at the end of the movie when the Dark Crystal is, I guess, repaired.
Yes, which is why I love the direction that this story is going, because it kind of it's a full circle moment, and a lot of the points and viewpoints of the episodes as they go on. While he's upside down, the Skeksis, because you know that Rian has been having the bottle of Mira with him this whole time of her essence, they actually drink the bottle of the essence. This actually the Skeksis that doesn't actually happens to be one of my favorite Skeksis, and you'll find that out later in the movie. The first, because after this, you've seen the first signs of how the shattering of the Dark Crystal is starting to affect all the things in the land. And you'll see that with the creatures, you know, like the little fluffy creature that you like so much. It wasn't that one per se, but those types of creatures are starting to have purple eyes and go into like this really crazy frenzy. And like, they're just like agitated. They're not necessarily like a charging and attacking. They just seem very agitated and erratic. Like the behavior is not normal.
They're
What's
called
that?
They're called land striders, the things that that walk on all fours, but like they literally look like the way we would try and walk on all fours. Like if you've ever seen a monkey walk on all fours, a gorilla, it's because we're not built to walk on all fours. We're built to walk two-legged, but a monkey or a gorilla sometimes needs that to help them run faster. And then we look ridiculous, and that's what these things look like. They look ridiculous. It looks like a person in the costume, but no, it's still a pet.
They kind of remind me of the creatures from, if you've ever seen Cirque du Soleil, that they have, where like they're using all fours, which is very humanoid. I really like that you pointed that out. There's a few other creatures that you'll see throughout the show that actually show, you know, the darkening or the quickening coming, and they start showing those signs of agitation. And then from here, Dee and Hup, which is our little paddling paladin with the spoon. I love that little guy.
I said, let's hope nothing bad happens to him at the end of the show. I've never finished this show when I first watched it the first time back in 2019, so I don't know if he lives on or not.
It's been a while since I've seen it, so we're both going to be, you know, refreshed on that. But I love Hup. He's just cute with his, you know, his little spoon. But he ends up stealing some clothes to try to get deep into the Almadra to let her know, because she's since we met this character, that's all she's been trying to do is meet the Almadra to tell her what's going on. And from here, because she does get Hup goes up to the gate and he's like, I'm a paladin. And they do let him in. And then that's when you see them talking to, Kaliden? Oh my God, I always forget her name. The sister, one of the older sisters. And, you know, dream fast with her and let her know, not dream fast, but kind of give her the rundown of what's going on. From here, the Skeksis show up and they're just like, hey, we want 7 of your finest warriors. So they can, volunteers. They can, drain them, but the Almadra doesn't know that. Mm-hmm. But that's what they want, is they're kind of trying to speed up that process to gain all the essence. I'm trying to think what happens. Oh, yeah, after this, after that scene, Freya tells the Almadra about Lore, and Lore was that big rock creature that we met in the last episode, the one that uses, it's almost like a record player type method to communicate with her. Brings the Almadra to the basement to go meet Lore to figure out what's going on. Because I think at this point, the Almadra is starting to put the puzzle pieces together without being told and is kind of starting to listen to her daughter a little bit more and be like, hey, maybe something is going on because something feels a little sus here. And then I believe, what's her name? The older sister. Is it Sidon?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so she sends her, which is the older sister, to go check the nearby she wants her to go check the nearby lands for the blight that is happening, you know, that purple effect, why everything's being affected by, you know, the crack in the crystal. And then from there, because you don't really know what's going on, Rian get into an argument at the palace. Who is it? Rian and... can't remember the other person's name, get into an argument at the place where the elflings stop, where the gelflings, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What was the question? I didn't understand. You said...
So after the blight, it switch over to Rian and one of the Skeksis. They get into an argument
right
about the gelflings, whether they're going to be unwilling slaves or no slaves.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And he's like, we don't want to be slaves at all. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is so stupid. And he's like, Gelflings have been our slaves for years. You guys just haven't known it. You can continue to be oblivious to what's going on, or you could know what's going on and have a problem with what's going on. Like I said, that's the person that the Skeksis that he's talking to is, like I said, is my favorite Skeksis, and you won't really understand until the movie. Which is the conversation that they're having back and forth. It's very minimal, but I think you're starting to see with this one Skeksis in particular, the cracks in his character, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because one minute I feel like he could be super, super soft to get what he wants. And then the next minute he's rawr again. So he's kind of back and forth. And then from here, it goes to where the Orgra struggles to find the Song of Thra. She goes through many methods, sand, wind, air, and she's just getting more and more frustrated. And that's when the Blight once again makes an appearance within one of the creatures within the realm of the Dark Crystal. And she feels really, really bad because she can't do anything because she can't connect with Thra to help them heal. So she asks the Blessing Tree, which is, I believe, that's the Blessing Tree in which she resides. That's where we first encounter the Orgra, right?
Yes.
Okay. So within that tree, she's like, hey, friend, I can't do anything. Don't let this creature suffer. Can you, kind of help them out? So the tree extends its roots or tentacles to, things and heals the creature. And from there, she kind of takes a cue from the tree, you know what? Instead of trying to force this song so I can connect with Thra again, I'm just going to sit here and listen to you, old friend. I'm just going to listen. I'm not going to force anything. I'm just going to chill out and be one. Let's be Zen together, and we'll figure this out. From there, Rian is saved by the Gelflings that fled the attack because Rian, like I said, is caught by that one Skeksis. The attack that I'm referring to is the one where the hunter comes after them and kills Rian's dad. And so they're saved, they're reunited, they're brought together again. It was very quick, very fast meeting.
The did you notice that the Almadras, she has this like crown upon her head that reminds me a lot of Charlize Theron's Evil Queen look from the two Snow White movies that she did.
So that's funny that you say that, because it doesn't remind me of that. I think we talked about this before. It reminds me of the Evil Queen from Willow.
Because I don't remember the Evil Queen from Willow. I haven't watched Willow in a million years, and I never watched the TV show. I was not a big Willow fan that everyone makes like Willow to be out to be. In fact, Disney canceled it after one season and took it off Disney Plus just tells you that there's no Willow audience out there.
I think I watched a TV show. I don't think I was too enthralled, but Willow was one of my comfort movies growing up. Stupid Daikinis, which are humans. But there's a scene where the Evil Queen turns all the Daikinis, which are humans, into pigs, and the crown that's on her head looks exactly like what it reminds me of the Almadra crown.
Okay,
so
it.
Bad.
Got it. Okay. The old woman, she's got one of the little creatures, a puppet holding a puppet, by the way.
Ogra?
I'm sorry?
Is it Ogra?
Yeah. She's got one of the little puppets that's infected with the same kind of, like, problem that the Longstriders had, and, you know, with its purple
eyes. Yeah, the blight.
Yeah. And then it just kind of dies in her arms.
Yeah, and that's when she asked the Blessing Tree, like, hey, can't help. But can you heal this little dude? And, like, he kind of, like, comes back. And I don't think it's necessarily a death. I think it's just, like, I think you will see this later on in the movie, so I don't want to give away too much. But the little...
He's 40 years old.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to give away too much. But, like, the podlings in the movie, they have, their eyes are just whited out, but, like, they're functioning. But there's no light there. Mm. They're just like shells. Their essence is gone. And I think that's what happened within that creature. The essence was just like full on removed. They're kind of like a walking puppet in literal terms at that point. From here, once Rian is saved, like I said, Dee finally gets a speech to the Almadra. And... kind of lets her, I think she lets Dee, was it Dreamfast with her?
Mm-hmm.
To kind of break it down for her after, even though she's already ran through it with her daughter. And then there's these other little sectors of podlings. We have the ones that were ran away, like there's not podlings, of gelflings, that I've ran away who are over here doing this or over here doing that. Because we kind of like met them all at different times, but they go into like a big Dreamfast. Now, during this psychedelic dream fasting, they kind of end up on the same dream plane with Ogra. And now during this dream state, she finds out that, you know, one of the Gelflings, God, I always forget her name, the older sister, Celadon. I don't really pay attention to her because I don't really like her attitude. I know that sounds horrible. Celadon's in this dream fasting with all these people, and then once the ogre starts asking her questions, she realizes that, Skirt, like, you're not really here to, you know, help with healing the crystal. So she gets pushed out of the dream state and makes her go to the Skeksis to kind of, like, have retribution on these rebellious Gelflings. But while they're in there, they find out, you know, you're my warriors, you need to go ignite and unify everybody and start the rebellion to try to help, thwart this blight and get everything going. And it's like really cool that dream fasting led them to this one shared dream where they could all be on the same page, and get things done. And from there, once they break the dream fast, cause you know, it's kind of broken abruptly, especially with the Skeksis involvement, the Almadra goes to her chambers because she is informed when she gets out of this dream state that, you know, the Skeksis are there and, you know, they want to see her. and she starts pushing. She really has this, you know, she really stands tall and has this vibrato in her chest. And she's, you know, telling the Skeksis, no, you're not going to do this. This is what you're doing to my people. We will no longer stand for this. And then the general, I believe it's the general, cuts her down and kills her.
Yeah,
and that,
yeah. Mom is just, like, dead on the floor, bleeding out the pink stuff. What did you think of the giant rock creature that they encounter in this?
Lore. I love Lore. He is giant and adorable. I like the intricate details. I like how they were able to get, you know, the stone pattern in there. And I like the whole two-headed system for the puppeteering. Because even though, like, the head looks like two separate pieces, it really moves. Everything moves for a rock form, moves very fluid. It's very natural movement. Instead of you, when you think of a rock moving, you might think of it as a little bit more rigid. I like that it really doesn't need words to communicate. It's very animated, so to speak. I think of it more like, I'm trying to think of a character's personality I can equate it to. Ludo from The Labyrinth, just like a gentle giant.
We also say goodbye in this episode to Helen Bonham Carter because she was the voice of that character.
Yes, we do.
Moving on to episode 6. By the way, just a quick break from the podcast of talking about Dark Shadows, but keeping in the realm of the genre we're in. Have you ever heard of the journalist of... What?
The journalist who?
Okay, something was coming through your mic. It sounded... I don't know what the hell it was. Let me start over. Have you ever heard of the journalist or the podcaster William Bruce West?
No, I have not.
He was a journalist in multiple things of pop culture, media, and various reporting on geeky things, movies, stuff like that. He was a podcaster as well on a few podcasts, including Wizards, the Podcast Guide to Comics, which covers the Wizard magazine from the 90s through the 2000s until the magazine was canceled in 2011.
Wizard at WizardCon, because I was just talking about this the other day.
What? Sorry, I'm going somewhere with this. What did you just say?
Go ahead, continue.
Okay. William Bruce West had a stroke a few months ago, and he had been slowly recovering from it. But, unfortunately, it was just announced on the Wizards podcast social media page today that William Bruce West lost his battle with that recovering from the stroke.
Oh, no.
So... if you want to go check out episodes of Wizards, the Podcast Guide to Comics, that was the last thing that I know he was on. He wrote an interesting article about black African-American characters in science fiction. He himself was African-American. Yeah, it's unfortunate that he has recently just passed away. I think it happened last night.
That definitely sucks.
Yeah. I'm trying to find what episode he was on. He was on Geek Out, Boy Bands with William Bruce West. Remember That Show, which is a podcast he did with Adam Pope, who was the host of Wizards Guide to Comics. They talk about forgotten television shows, not necessarily canceled TV shows like we do, but forgotten TV shows. And there was a GoFundMe happening for him and his family for their for his medical bills, which obviously is now going to be used for his funeral expenses. So
yeah, that definitely sucks. We've lost a lot of good comic people, podcast people this year within the geekdom. It definitely sucks.
But yeah, it's over on the again social media for Wizards right now, going into explanation of William's passing and what happened to him. Again, it was a stroke that fell him back in January.
Oh, that is
he
most
was,
awful.
I believe, only in his 40s, maybe 50s.
That is way too young. Everybody
not too young to have a stroke.
Yeah, I mean they don't discriminate, but that still super sucks. Sending my love, dude.
Moving on to the episode, by Gelfling's hand, Lore breaks out of his chamber to help Bree as news of the general's deed spreads. Celadon calls the other Madras to the Citadel, and we open up with the Skeksis arriving, and the new Madra having to face the giant rock creature again, what was it called? Lore?
Lore, yep. Yeah. His name is Lore. So the Skeksis have captured the Gelflings, obviously, in the castle from the last episode due to their rebellion after cutting down the Almadra. And as they're being a taking away, Lore is in the chambers beneath them, right?
Yes.
And he's kind of, his spider senses are tingling. He's like, something feels off, like something's wrong. And the Gelflings that are outside the castle that they were dream fasting with have kind of, you know, come to the area and to go after this group because, you know, that they've been captured. And so they come up with a plan to save them because they're like, we can't have them go down. We're supposed to be the heroes. What is it? The seven heroes, I believe it was, something like that. The heroes are supposed to help with getting everything back on track. And at this point, you know, the Skeksis are leaving with not only them, but the volunteers that they have, you know, kind of lined up and gone through in almost a cattle-like manner, you know, where they're assessing them based on looks and mostly looks, not so much strength. You know, this one has freckles, but I find it appealing. I was like, oh, well, if that's not cattle lineup, I don't know what it is. And Rian stands in front of the carriage. Because you have to remember that Rian is also being hunted down right now because they're saying, you know, that he's a killer. He's the reason why everything is kind of, like, had the ball rolling. And Lore, like I said, who is spider sense were tingling, breaks out of the castle's basement area to go after the captured Gelflings and ends up, while Rian is stopped in front of the carriage, Lore breaks open the back where they're held and helps them out, and their escape is made after, you know, the Skeksis are trying to, you know, puff their chests up and go after Lore. They kind of like, we're just going to back off and let him go. And then, I'm just trying to bring. So after this happens and, you know, they get rid of the Skeksis, Orger comes in and she has a meeting with one of the Long Necks. With Long Neck, that's his name, that's not his species. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I see that your third eye, which is clearly open now on the head of the Almadra, as before, when you see her in previous shots, it is closed. It is now open, and he's like, oh, you finally opened your third eye. And she's like, yeah, thanks for the cryptic message, on how to do that, like, good job. But she did it, and, you know, he's like, all right, well, where do you see this going? Like, what do you see happening now? Because she opened the third eye so she could see what was coming to everybody in the land. And she's like, you need to go to the desert and face the hunter. Now, the hunter is also a Skeksis. And he's like, oh, great, I have to go face my dark half. As I stated before, the Skeksis do have another half. They're kind of the same creature. And he's like, well, I'm afraid of the hunter. Like, I don't think I can take the hunter on. And she's like, like, kind of like, you got this. That's something you kind of have to do. And he's like, okay, well, I'll go to the desert to meet the hunter, you know, come what may. So he has to get a head start because apparently Long Neck is a very slow mover, which I thought was really funny. It's funny that, she, you know, she made fun of his pace because she's not any faster if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it took her forever to open up her eyes, so this could have been sped up a lot faster. So, during this, you know, after this brief encounter with Orgra in Long Neck, we go back to our now freed Gelflings, to which, you know, they're kind of sullied because, you know, their friends have died. Madra has died, and the daughter can't be, the younger daughter, can't be there for the berry. There's a burial ceremony to kind of return the Gelflin's essence back to Thra. And she can't be there for that. So, she, you know, she's kind of feeling it. So Deet decides, like, hey, listen, I'm your friend. I get that you're grieving. We will do something here for them. And they sit around a fire, and I believe it's seeds that they're using to kind of tell the story of their parents and get, you know, their feelings out there. And they have their own burial ceremony for them. And they end up singing a really pretty sounding song, not really sure what it is, but it's kind of like very just, you know, ritualistic sounds or a language for them to sing their loved ones off. After this, you'll go back to where, I'm going to keep saying her name wrong.
I thought the birds, the design of the birds that are flying around the body of the La Madre were fantastically done. More testament of the great special effects of this.
Those were the birds to collect the six pieces, except for the one that she was going to keep. To get the other Almadras from the different tribes to her to be crowned as the next Almadra, which is part of the burial service where she was like, no, we're not going to bury my mom. We're going to set her on fire because she's a traitor. So those birds are really, really pretty. Very delicate, considering, you know, the pieces of the crown were very sharp and like, you know, forward. But those are really good, and those were sent, like I said, sent off to the other tribes to bring the other Almadras in to help reassemble the crown. Is kind of how they do the passing on of for the ritual. And after that, the All Clans Maldras, they do show up. It starts off with one, and then I believe there's four more that come, so there's five total, right?
Mm-hmm. It's also funny that we're covering this right now as the ritual master, the voice of the ritual master is Keegan Michael Key, and Anna Taylor Joy plays Bree in this, and this is the we're covering this when Super Mario Galaxy is now in theaters, and they're both in that movie as Toad and Princess Peach.
I have not watched that one yet. It is on my list.
It's in theaters right now.
Yeah, I know. I see, I've been since COVID, I haven't really been to movie theaters too much. I also don't like being around people when watching movies because they talk and they drive me nuts. But after this, so like they hold, you know, all Madras go to where Celadon is, the main castle, but they're refusing to unite the pieces underneath her. Because they believe that she is wrong and she is just a child.
This whole burning of the mom ritual, too, by the way, reminds me of, like, Luke burning his dad. But this is, like, a big thing in cultures to burn their loved ones. I always said if I die, I want to be set on fire, kind of like a Viking funeral fire.
Yeah, it's supposed to, like, usually burning ceremony is supposed to carry, you know, like, the person's soul on the wind or whatever. But here, I think it's a blatant slap in the face because it's not something that they, customarily do for their dead.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides to go against their wishes, the processional, burial procession wishes, and it's like, you're a traitor, this is what you get, you don't deserve any more than this. So it's more of a slap in the face at this point. And then from here, we will go back to the horde of little Gelflings that we have that are, you know, on their mission to set the fires of the resistance across the lands, where they meet this new character from the desert. Her name is, I believe it's Rika. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he offers her a bone. He offers the princess a bone necklace for, you know, protection crossing the desert and, you know, kind of like, I'm sorry that your mom died kind of gift. And after a brief little back and forth between her and Rianne and then the little podling deciding he doesn't like him, they go off to light the fires of resistance across the land, but he can only get them so far because the blight has spread and is severely affecting the area that they're trying to cross. And then we're back at the new Almadra in the castle where she has a challenge has been given, a challenge of flight between her and one of the other Almadras. And during this, you know, the victor gets to be the new Almadra and get the crown. She decides that she's not going to go fly against this person, especially since, you know, she keeps referring to her as a child. And she decides she's going to come out in this black regal wear. And this new crown that she has crafted for herself. And I believe one of the pieces that are on there is from the former Almogger's crown, and she's like, we're not going to do things the way the Almogger's did before us. We are now doing it our way because the Skeksis are right, you're wrong. And they're like, no, this isn't how it's supposed to be, you're completely wrong. And she gets carried out of the castle, the one that had issued the challenge, and the other three submit to her. So there's four Almogger's. The fifth is now on her own. I believe there's six total.
Yeah, there seem to be one of a different color, different look, and just Gelfling ethnicity of some kind. Also, we see a Gelfling fly, which is unusual because they were not really doing that before. The wings, when they fly, reminded me of, like, fairies. Some of them also reminded of that TV show that was on Prime for two seasons called Carnival. Orlando Bloom was on it.
Yeah. Well, actually, in the first few episodes, you'll see the Almadra and Celadon. Their wings are out. You don't necessarily see them fly.
Right.
But you do see that they do have wings.
Okay, so I was going to say, I don't remember them flying, but I was just like, did I miss it? But, okay.
No, we hadn't seen them fly up until this point.
Okay, gotcha.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's only the Almadra's family that may have wings or higher ranking, because there was... I haven't seen, because, no, Deet flew. But
right.
Deet is a different variant of Gelfling.
Correct. Correct. Why don't we wrap up our review of the episode? The Zoom call is about to run out of time.
No, that's fine. So that's kind of where it left off, is she's dressed as, like, Skeksis adjacent, and things are going to be done her way now, as Celadon being the new Almadra.
And that is how our episode ends. We've got, I don't know, how many episodes are there? There are 10 episodes, so we have two more episodes of the podcast to go to cover the rest of the show. Then will be a big break, and I will announce what the next show will be here on the Dead TV podcast. You might, when does your baby do?
July 8th.
Oh, okay. You won't have time to do this podcast then.
I will have time up until that time.
Right. But so we will finish the show with Chandra, and we will move on to a new co-host with a new show. I kind of been thinking about possibly covering the one-and-done season canceled show, also a Netflix show, because damn Netflix, Cowboy Bebop.
I love Cowboy Bebop, the anime.
I loved the anime, and I actually really enjoyed the live-action show. I thought it looked just like the anime, but alas, it was canceled before it even aired, so tells you something. Came out in 2021, so. But you can find the rest of the episodes here on the Radio Horror Network, or send us an email at thatradiohorror@gmail.com, or please send us a review on iTunes or Amazon or wherever you have to listen to your podcasts. Chandra, where can they find you?
Everybody can find me on Instagram under the name Blunderland, BLUNNDERLAND.
And you can also follow me on the regular radio show I do Sunday nights from 10 to 12 on Worcester, Massachusetts. Recent episodes of the show, we had director Lee Cronin on from The Mummy. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Dead TV podcast.